أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك ولا تجعل فيها حظا لغيرك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everyone today? الحمد لله. We start off by making a hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying Alhamdulillah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressing our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the many favors that He has granted us. And if we were to try and count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا, you would never be able to count the favors of Allah. The mere fact that you can count is a favor from Allah. So we say Alhamdulillah, 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 that Allah has granted us the ability to see such a beautiful day, in such a beautiful place, in a beautiful setting in this masjid, to have life, Alhamdulillah. In addition to merely having life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us iman. Allah has granted us belief. And in addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from a type that is called insan, human beings. Human beings are creatures that are set apart from other animals, and we'll get to that in a moment. But before we get to that, we send salawat and salam upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everybody can join me in saying, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one that taught us how to live our lives in such a manner that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from amongst the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that came via divine revelation, in fact, the first piece of revelation that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, what was it? Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. So these couple of verses here, they will form the basis of my talk today and the basis of my nasiha. And what I intend to do and what I hope to impart to you, the students firstly and everybody else as well, it's a real opportunity to have so much youngsters at your audience. And they are the future of our generation. In fact, they are the today of our generation. They are the leaders of today. So specifically, I want to delineate for yourselves and for myself a path. A path via which we can traverse our way through this world. We can travel through this world and reach the destination that we want to arrive at. What is the path? What is the destination? And I want to summarize this travel in three words. If anybody knows a little bit of Arabic, you will know that all of these three words share the same root letters. The first word is ilm. The second word is amal. And the third word is lama. Ilm, amal, and lama. They sound very similar, don't they? They all share a similar objective as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What does Allah say? I have not created jinn kind, nor have I created mankind, except that they make my ibadah, that they worship me. Many of the mufassireen, in commenting on this verse, they say, what is the meaning of liya'budun, that they worship me? They say it means liya'rifun, that they come to know me. So the objective of our being, of our living, of our spending time on this world is for us to come constantly closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via coming to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in coming to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will express that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via ibadah. What is ibadah? We'll get there in a moment as well. I said the first point was iqra. The first point of my talk was iqra. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam living in 7th century Arabia, amongst a people who were known to be in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance, where they spent their days in the desert, tending to the sheep, and the nights looking at the stars, writing poetry. Those were some of the pleasant things about them. Other things that they did, they would bury their children, their daughters specifically. They were stooped in lives of drinking and of merrymaking and of gambling. And here you have this pure being, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is born in their midst. He spends 40 years of his life amongst them, known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. And after 40 years, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it to receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of every single thing, speaking to his creation. Yeah, the most beloved and noblest of his creation, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is the first thing that Allah, the creator of everything, says to his prophet Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would in turn be conveyed to us? He says, Iqra. Iqra. What does Iqra mean? You tell me, engage with me. What does Iqra mean? Iqra means to, as we know, to read or recite. It's a command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via Jibreel alayhi salam, read. But Allah doesn't specify what is to be read. It doesn't say Iqra al-Quran, Iqra al-Quran. It doesn't say Iqra, read your math textbook. It doesn't say Iqra biology. Does it say that? Anybody seen those words in the Quran? Or doesn't it just say Iqra? And then Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaving the command unrestricted, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not specifying what is to be read, what is to be recited, we understand that it's a never-ending journey of learning that we must undertake. We must learn and learn and learn more. What must we learn? Is it only that I must learn how to perform salah, how to pay zakah, how to fast in the month of Ramadan? Is it only that I must learn sciences of fiqh and of things related to Islam? Is that all that I must learn? Is that the only thing that's going to get me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's not the case. Many scholars, the scholars of theology, have spoken about a concept called wahdatu shuhud. What does that mean? Every single thing, it means that every single thing in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears testimony to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears testimony to the fact that Allah is. And so I found it extremely profound when reading the Quran and pondering on some of the verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word ulama. Allah says, ومن الناس والدواب والأنعام مختلف ألوانه كذلك إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. Allah says, listen to this for a moment. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. The only servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that truly have fear of Allah, that truly have awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the ulama. The only people that have true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ulama. So now you may be sitting and thinking, oh, but I'm not one of those people that get called part of the ulama. What came just before that? Do you know that just before Allah was used this word ulama, Allah was speaking about mountain tracks and the various colors that show in the mountain? Do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking about the different forms and colors of human beings and of creatures? So you tell me now, who is the alim? Who is this fraternity of ulama? Is it those people who know fiqh and who know aqidah and who know all of those technical sciences? Is it only them? Are they the ulama? But then isn't there a disconnect between what was spoken about and what was mentioned? The fact that Allah spoke about phenomena in nature and then Allah used the word ulama? So we ask ourselves a question, is it perhaps that the ulama are the biologists? Are the environmentalists? Are the scientists? Are they the ulama that's being spoken about here? It begs a question in our mind. We have to think about the Quran. Allah gave us intellect so that we can think with it. So when thinking about who truly are the ulama, my personal opinion and the opinion of many mufassirun is that it is not only the scholars who know the technical sciences of deen, nor is it the scholars that know about nature and the material world around us, but the ulama are those people who through the knowledge that they attain in this world come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are those people who through learning things in this world come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by learning to know Allah more. And as I mentioned before, that is the objective of every form of learning. Whether it is that you are studying maths, whether it is that you are studying biology, whether it is that you are studying medicine, whether it is that you are studying law, whether it is that you are studying whatever it is you're studying, whether it is that you're studying Aqidah, whether it is that you're studying Arabic, whether it's that you're studying civilizations, whether it is that you are studying psychology, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you approach those sciences with a mindset that already believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those sciences will all result in you coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is that not what the verse said at the beginning? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ And what did I say about the commentary on it? إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ That they come to know me. Allah did not create jinn and man except that they come to know me. And if via learning we come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are fulfilling the purport of this verse. Then we are truly making ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then our ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our physical forms of worship, when we stand and we lift our hands and we perform salah, when we abstain from food and we fast, and from all of the other things that we must abstain from in fasting, when we undertake our hajj, when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ibadah will be more meaningful because it will fulfill the purpose of ibadah, and that is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But attaining knowledge without any goal, attaining knowledge and not using that knowledge, or attaining knowledge and not intending to do anything with that knowledge, is somewhat frivolous. That's why we constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives us what? Ilmun nafi'. Allah gives us beneficial knowledge. So the first stage that I wanted to speak about was the importance of attaining knowledge. And the reason I chose this specifically is because I'm speaking to an audience of students as well as other people. But it's never too old to learn. It's never too old to learn. In fact, to demonstrate that point, one of my colleagues who studied in the Darul Uloom with me, he's currently in his fifth year at the Darul Uloom. He will be 71 years old this year. 71 years old. And he's in his fifth year at the Darul Uloom course. He's not just playing jokes, he does the course, he writes the exams, he takes the effort to study. So, because I'm speaking about knowledge, it doesn't mean I'm speaking to the young people only. There's an amount of knowledge. There's an amount of knowledge pertaining to deen that everybody must acquire. Whether you are young or old or middle age, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs to acquire some amount of knowledge regarding the deen. Then also they must attain other forms of knowledge, but the intention in attaining those forms of knowledge must not just be to get more of this world. No, it must be to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Lumina Institute did a study of American students, and the reason that American students go to university or pursue higher education, tertiary education, and the study concluded that 95% of American students that undertake tertiary education, go to a university or a higher institute of learning, the reason for doing that is because they want to get a good job. That's it. Just think about that for a moment. Just think about that for a moment. And what did I say we're going to speak about? A path that leads to the destination that we want to arrive at. Tell me for a moment, what is that destination that we want to arrive at? We want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with a gift.
What is that? Come students, I want to hear. Either you end up in where? Jannah or Jahannam? Which one do we want to be in? We want to be in Jannah most certainly. We want to be in Jannah most certainly. And ilm, knowledge that we attain in this dunya is supposed to facilitate our way to get to the Jannah. To the Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. Whoever treads a path in seeking, via treading that path, knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his path to Jannah easy. Whoever treads a path to acquire knowledge, Allah will make his path to Jannah easy. So the objective behind attaining knowledge is supposed to be to facilitate our way to Jannah, to facilitate our way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does the study say? 95% of American students, and I'm sure the same applies for South African students, is that our motivation for learning is not to get to Jannah. What's our motivation for learning? To get a good job. And why do most of us want to get a good job? Is there something wrong with getting a good job? No, definitely not. But if your entire objective of living is to get a good job, then that's problematic. That's problematic. Because that's not what leads you to Jannah. That is not what leads you to Jannah. What leads you to Jannah is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressing your knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worship can take many forms, as I'll get to in a moment. But we must learn, and that learning must take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always think about this concept when we just want to learn to attain more of this dunya. It reminds me of someone that Allah speaks about in the Quran. That person's name is Qarun. Qarun was a tyrant who lived in the people of Musa alayhi salam. He had so much wealth, Allah says, that the keys to the wealth of Qarun were so heavy that a large group of strong men would find it difficult to pick up only the keys to his wealth. Imagine that. When we ask Allah, Allah make me rich, and what are we thinking? Oh, give me a house in Constantia maybe. Maybe if you're ambitious, you ask Allah, let me own a portion of something like Kirstenbosch. But none of us really ask for more than that. Allah says, the keys to the treasures of Qarun were so heavy that they would pose a challenge to people of strength to pick up. But what did that do? When Qarun acted with his wealth and he was a tyrannical and he oppressed people because he thought himself to be powerful because he had so much of this dunya, he attributed his wealth to himself and he says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I have only been given what I have because of my own knowledge. So if I'm only to attain knowledge, to get a better job, to get more of this world, then won't I end up being like Qarun when I do get a good job and then I think that the reason I have this good job is because I have a good degree and that's my own knowledge? That's problematic. But the people of Qarun gave him an advice. What did they tell him? They saw Qarun having so much things and they told him, Qarun, use what you have and act differently with it. وَبَتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Oh Qarun, they told him, use whatever Allah has given you to attain the abode of the year after. Use what you have of knowledge and of wealth and use it to attain the abode of the year after. How is it that you use money and wealth and a degree to attain the year after? To attain Jannah in the year after? It's simple. Carry on doing what you are doing, but change your intention. Carry on doing what you're doing. If you're a doctor, carry on being a doctor. But just make your intention be, oh Allah, I'm not just doing this for money. Oh Allah, I'm doing this to serve humanity. If you are interested in studying biology or studying medicine or chemistry, then say, oh Allah, I'm not just doing this so that I can make a lot of money or my name can be printed on some research. Oh Allah, I'm doing this to find a cure for something or something like that so that I can better society. I can improve the quality of people's lives. If you're involved in politics, let your intention not be, oh Allah, I want to get a higher rank in parliament so that I can earn a lot of money and drive the best Mercedes. No. Let it be, oh Allah, I want to get some political position so that I can serve humanity. So that I can ensure that people have a good life.
And in serving people, you are coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in a hadith, Allahu fi awni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi awni akhihi. That Allah is in the servitude of his slave as long as his slave is in the servitude of the other slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or as long as he is in the servitude of his brother. Who is his brother? Every human being. Every other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you are helping your brother, Allah is helping you. And the greatest help we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our journey starts with attaining ilm, coming to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming to know things about this world, coming to attain proficiency in some science or in some field, but that must result in action, whether your field be the Islamic sciences, whether your field be what is known as the secular sciences, but it isn't secular sciences. Those sciences are very much connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must all be to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either directly by knowing better how to perform your ibadat, by being cognizant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I pray to Him, by thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I perform my salah, when I give my zakah. But at the same time, it can be by serving humanity. It can be by serving humanity. If I have a profession of some sort, if I am involved in some avenue of learning, all I need to do is change my intention. My intention is no longer just to get more money. My intention is to serve humanity. My intention is to better the lives of people. My intention is to create a peaceful world, because the result of Islam should be salam. The result of us being Muslims should be that peace spreads in the world. But when Muslims will merely attain proficiencies in certain things so that they can fill their pockets and live their own life secluded in their own house, thinking only about themselves and their children and their wife, and that's the entire world to them, then how will salam spread beyond our homes? We have a greater role in society. Not just me, every single one of us sitting here, whether you be a alim, whether you be a street sweeper, it doesn't matter. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us have the role of spreading peace in this world. All of us have that role, because that's what it means for us to be a Muslim. Our Islam must result in peace. Our Iman must result in Aman. Our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must result in security and safety in the world that we live in. But how does it happen if we seclude or we restrict our worldview to this nuclear family, to just myself, an egotistical worldview? That's not the case. That's not how we look at the world. That's why we attain ilm at the beginning, so that we know that this world and everything in it is not about me, it's about Allah. We as Muslims, we are a theocentric people. Our entire world is about Allah. Everything that we see, we relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we do, we relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I go to the toilet, I make a dua before I go to the toilet. When I come out of the toilet, I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me that. To such an extent, we connect everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm not saying change your profession, change your life, change what you are doing. I'm saying carry on doing what you are doing. But change your intention in doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you write your exam, or student, don't write your exam merely to get an impressive mark that you can say, I got the best mark. No. Strive to get the best mark, but so that Allah can be pleased with you, because Allah loves ihsan. Allah prescribed excellence for everything. Allah prescribed excellence for everything. So the first point is that you must attain ilm. The second, ilm al-nafi'. That led on to my second point, is that we must do a'mal. A'mal al-saliha. And a'mal al-saliha, I must repeat, is not just performing salah. It's not just giving zakah. It's not sitting in the masjid the entire day. It's not just giving da'wah. It's encompassing of all of those things, but it includes your daily activities that you do when you do them with the correct intention. When you go sleep at night, if you sleep in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you say the dua before going to sleep, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, then that sleep is an ibadah for you. If your intention is sleeping so that you can gain rest and you can be rejuvenated to serve Allah better, then that sleep is an ibadah for you. If you go out to work in the morning so that you can get money to feed your family, then that work is an ibadah for you. If you work so that you can better society, that work is an ibadah for you. Everything that we do should be an ibadah. Every single thing that we do should be an act of worship. How does it become an act of worship? When my objective and my intention and my goal in doing that action is to attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that act becomes an act of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of our acts an act of worship.
Ilm, knowledge, amal, action.
And that must result in lama. That must result in illumination. That must result in us becoming enlightened people. People who live not for ourselves, people who live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who live to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
then we would have fulfilled our objectives as human beings. As I said beginning, as I reiterated before, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
I have not created jinn and man except that they worship me and except that they come to know me. How will we come to know Allah? Via fulfilling the two steps that I mentioned prior. Learning more with the objective of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then implementing and doing all of those beneficial things that will take me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either in the form of directly doing those commandments that Allah wants of me, or in serving humanity, and in serving humanity I am doing what Allah wants me to do. The best of people are those who are most beneficial to other people. And in doing all of these things, I will naturally come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be fulfilling my objective. Allah will be pleased with me. Jannah's path will be open for me. I will attain Jannah in the next life. And life will become blissful in this world as well. Life will become blissful in this world as well. Because I don't live for this world. So it's not attaining things of this world that make me happy. It's attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes me happy. So automatically my life in this world becomes better, more fruitful, more pleasing to myself, more easy and just pleasant. And then if Muslims have this objective in their minds, ilm, amal, and lama', and they do all of it with excellence, then there'll be no need for us to shout out about how Islam is not ISIS. There'll be no need for us to shout out about how Islam is not a terrorist religion. There'll be no need for us to speak about how Islam is not a backward religion. People will see it. People will be so enticed by our way of life, by our character, by our dealings, by our interactions, that they will come to Islam. And when more people come to Islam, with the correct understanding of Islam, with the correct objective of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be more actions that bring about peace in this world. And we will have a more peaceful world. And it doesn't matter if it seems like an insurmountable challenge. Allah only asks us to try. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have fear and love of Allah and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. You just try. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this talk not just a bunch of words that you hear and forget. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a path that we traverse in our lives. Amen. May it be that we attain knowledge to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody, you know, just forget about it. Take a moment now to make the intention that I'm going to learn something. I'm going to try and learn something every day. And I'm going to try and be of benefit to people. Just make that intention. If you make that intention now, perhaps Allah accepts it and then your life is different. Because it's no use giving an impressive talk or saying some nice advices and nobody takes heed of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these effective words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me the first to benefit from it and everybody else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and spread Islam in this world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshroud us with mercy and with peace and with aman. With this I end. وَجَزَاكُمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرُ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.